beloved of the Lord Jesus, we carry on with our psalm in Psalm 18, a long-term Bible study series from verse 20 through to the end. We've seen to date the psalmist's magnifying of the Lord upon remembrance of the many deliverances of old that the Lord had wrought in his life. And he continues in this respect in verses 20 through to 27. Verse 20 says, "The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, and according to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me." And so here we have the psalmist rejoicing in having a clean conscience before the Lord. He has a clean conscience before the Lord. He is cleared of the many false accusations and things that have been said about him. He reflects really on his own integrity and sincerity that he's had to the Lord. He has been sincere in loving the Lord, in seeking the Lord, in living after the Lord and being conformed to God's way. Hence he says, "The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness." He's not saying according that I have no sin. He's not saying this is my righteousness in the sense that it's because of something that's good in me. He's saying it in that he owns the righteousness of God. And this is the righteousness which I have held to in seeking after God and being conformed to God, in living for God, in having you as my trust. This is the context of the passage. He's holding on to God's righteousness. He owns it. My righteousness. I have not departed from the Lord wickedly. I have held to you. I've conformed to you. Despite all the setbacks, despite going through so many dark times, I have not wickedly departed like many others and have forsaken you. I have stood firm by faith. That's the sense the psalmist is saying here. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, hath he recompensed me. Recompense is rewarded. There is a reward for those who are faithful in the sense of duty and that carry on by faith. There are many things, dear beloved, that can set us back, can they not, in this life. Many things. Outward enemies, of course, that oppose us, and inward enemies as well. And we have to carry on by faith in well-doing. There is a reward. God is faithful concerning his promises. And we have to keep in the way of the means of grace and faithfully and sincerely loving the Lord, as David did. Verse 21 goes on to say, "For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God." And so we see here David's integrity in faithfully keeping the ways of the Lord. He could have easily, with all these persecutions, done what like so many people have done. Oh, I'm not going to serve the Lord anymore. Things are not going the way I want anymore. I'm just going to go back into the world. All these tragedies are happening. I'm being persecuted. All these things are happening. But of course, these things prove our faith, don't they? And David knew and trusted in the promises of God. And that's what we are to do. "For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God." David knows that God looks upon the heart, doesn't he? He looks upon the heart. And David had a heart to carry on by faith in duty to the Lord, being conformed to God's word, in trusting that God always keeps his promises. And that really is what differentiates true believers from unbelievers. True believers understand that God sees their heart. And we've got to keep on going by faith from the heart, despite the many things around us. Those who forsake the ways of God do in effect depart from God, don't they? But, of course, they can be recovered by true repentance and faith. Verse 22 says, "For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me." He is just full of praise for the Lord. And during his trials, his many trials of faith, he did not turn back from God's word and God's ways and God's commandments. He could have so easily done that, and he did not, for all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. He respected the Lord's words more than man's words. He wanted to be conformed, not to his opinions or what the world said, but to what God said. Many people tried to take him away from the Lord. He was trying to be driven out of Israel, but he trusted in God's word. It says, and I did not put away his statutes from me. It's almost saying in the sense of a divorce here, in putting away someone in terms of marriage. True believers are married to the Lord, aren't we? We are fastened and bind to the Lord out of the love which he has showed us. And we cannot do that. We cannot break off because things don't go the way we want them to go. We believe in the providence of God and the sovereignty of God, and David did. And so we carry on believing in the promises of God, despite the many setbacks. And so this is David saying, and I did not put away his statutes from me. He carried on in the way of faith and duty. And that is, friends, is what we need to be encouraged in these days. Then the Lord will prove our faith in perhaps many setbacks and many discouragements. And when we feel like we're down in the dumps at times, we feel like everything is against us, as David no doubt must have felt at times, those are the times where we don't go according to our feeling or our opinion. We go to God's word. We go to the Lord and we beseech him for that perseverance to carry on in the fight, in duty. That's so important for a Christian soldier. We carry on, although the fight is difficult and there'll be many foes. We carry on as Christian soldiers in duty, in faith. I'm tired. There's so many things against me, but I'll carry on faithfully being conformed to God's word, because that's where the blessing is. That's where I need to be. That's where I want to be used of the Lord. And so it was for David. And he goes on to say in verse 23, I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. And so David could have easily said, well, I've just had enough now. It's been too long. These trials have gone for too long. I'm going to go back to the world, as it were. All these people are telling me to do things, to do ungodly things. I'll just give in, as it were. And David says, no, I keep on keeping hold to the promises and the words of God, the ways of God. And so I kept myself from my iniquity. He's confessing to the Lord, I've got iniquity, I've got sin, but I've kept it by the grace of God, by looking to Christ, by looking to him, from abstaining from sin, from mortifying the deeds of the flesh daily, from not going with the crowd, as it were, not joining in with Saul and his men, but speaking the truth. And the truth sometimes hurts, doesn't it? And by when we live the truth and we speak the truth, we're not going to be very popular, are we? And so, but nevertheless, we carried on holding on to the promises of the Lord. Verse 24 says, therefore had the Lord recompensed me, rewarded me, in other words, according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness. He's owning the righteousness of God. He's not saying that he in himself is righteous. He's saying, because I've held to your righteousness, I haven't departed from the ways of the world. I've held to your words, your righteousness, and the Lord has rewarded me. He has strengthened me in the inner man. He has fulfilled those promises to me according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. He's saying that the Lord, of course, is sovereign in his dealings with men. He is omnipresent, and he knows this, doesn't he, that God sees the heart. And he goes on to say in verse 25 and 26, he gives us some general wisdom here from God's word, 25:26. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful, and with the upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the froward thou wilt show thyself froward. And in these two verses we see the equity of our Maker, don't we? The equity of our Maker. Saul and the enemies of David's soul were not merciful to David, were they? Therefore God will not show himself merciful to them. And this is a true saying, isn't it? From the scriptures. If we are unmerciful to others, how can we expect mercy from God? If we willingly oppress others and are unmerciful, well, how can we expect mercy from our Maker if we carry on framing our lives in that way? True seekers frame themselves after God's word. They're drawn in that sense. And this was true of David. The same goes with the upright man. The same goes with the pure. The same goes with the froward. The Lord will show himself upright to the upright. The Lord will show himself pure to the pure. And the same with the froward. You reap what you sow, don't you? And so the Psalms takes occasion to lay down the rules of God's government, the equity of our Maker, the justice of our Maker. But notice, even the merciful need mercy, don't they? Because he's saying, in essence, suggesting that we need mercy. Even the seemingly pure need purifying. He will show himself pure to those who are pure. And so we are in need of purifying, we're in need of mercy. And David knew this. Let none use such a passage here to justify themselves by their own merit and by words. David, who was merciful, often acknowledged, didn't he, that he was in need of more mercy and of more purifying, and that from the author and giver of it, especially concerning the matters of the soul. And so the psalmist goes on to say in verse 27 and 28, "For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but wilt bring down high looks. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." Those that resist God and walk contrary to his commandments, God will resist them. Yet he will speak comfort to afflicted souls, like the psalmist. David bared patiently, didn't he, for many years, the high, proud looks and scorn of Saul and his men upon him. And it was the Lord that brought down those high looks of Saul firmly to the dust. And it was the Lord's word and promises that guided David and saved him, wasn't it? And God's word says in this respect in Romans 12:16, "Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits." And David often said to Saul and others, "You're coming up against a flea, an ant, as it were." And this, of course, was true of David, wasn't he? "If the word and mind of Christ be in you, be reassured that though you may walk in the valley of the shadow of death, and under many discouragements, be encouraged that God himself will be a light unto you." In the following verses, David looks back with thankfulness upon the great things which God had done for him. Verse 29 says, "For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God I have leaped over a wall." David, in essence, is thanking the Lord for taking a ruddy sheep boy, from plucking him from the sheep coat, as it were, who was more inclined to poetry and music and quiet contemplation. He was more inclined for that. He was bred for that. He wasn't bred as a man of war. He was more inclined for those things. And the Lord took him and equipped him with military skill and understanding and tact and foresight that enabled him to overcome enemies that were far stronger than him, in that he was able to run through a troop. He was given the agility and the military savvy and tact to be able to do that. Him and his leadership with his men were able to siege great walls and cities and leaped over a wall, it says here. God gave him that ability. God gave him that understanding to be able to do that. Once before, he wasn't equipped for it. He wasn't bred for that. God equipped him for it. And this is true of us, isn't it? The Lord equips us for the spiritual battles that lead ahead of us. There may be many things prior to our conversion where we think, well, how can I be used of the Lord? Well, the Lord gives us, equips us, and prepares us for the battle that lies ahead, as he did with David. And the God of David is our God, isn't he, dear friends? That equips us for the spiritual warfare. Never forget that we believe in a supernatural God that lives, and he is able to help us, and to equip us, and to give us understanding, and give us things which really may not even come natural to us, to be able to persevere in the Christian warfare. Verses 30 to 32 of God's most precious word reads as follows. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. The psalmist continues to give God all the glory for his triumphs and the many successes that he had over the years. He's reflecting back and recounting the many deliverances and mercies of the Lord. And he's full of praise of the Lord. He must increase and I must decrease, as it were. His way is perfect and my way is not so perfect. That's what he's saying. That it's his way is perfect, which suggests that my way isn't perfect. It's his way, it's because of what he's done in my heart. His way is perfect. It is God that maketh my way perfect. And this is true of us who are truly born of the Spirit of God. He gets all the glory. It is because of what he has done in my life. He makes my way perfect through his grace and through his word and through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It is through him. My words fail the test of time, don't they? Oh, but the word of the Lord, it is tried in a furnace of fire 7 times, purified. It will never fail. It is the everlasting word. It is the word forever settled in heaven. And so it says, the word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. We are fastened to him, aren't we? And so because it is tried and tested in a furnace of fire, we can trust in God's words, can't we? Dear friends, as with David, God arms us for the battle of faith that lies ahead of us. He girds and binds us with strength which is not of this world. Never forget that. That the strength that God gives by faith in Christ and in his word is not of this world. It is of faith. It's not like the charismatics is of faith. But it's faith that is daring and courageous and willing to be spent for the Lord and do incredible things. That's, we need not limit the Lord in this respect. Let us pray for the faith of David, that is daring and courageous, that is willing to be spent and conformed to God's word and ways. David says in verse 33 and 34, he maketh my feet like hinds' feet, such an expression, and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by my arms. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet. Well, hinds, he must have seen, are those deers, aren't they? No doubt, female deers, which David would have seen in the rocky cliff edges when he was fleeing from the enemies of God and his soul, Saul and his cronies. He would have been fleeing in those valleys. There were large cliffs and rock edges and faces. And what the psalmist is saying here is that he has made his feet, he has given him such skill and agility that his feet are almost like hinds' feet that are able to escape amazingly from Saul and his men. You know, hinds' feet are amazing animals. They're able to put their back feet when they're climbing up these rock edges where their front feet are. They're incredibly agile. And I've seen a documentary on it, actually. And they're amazing animals. They climb these amazingly rugged cliff edges and rocks. And so the Lord gave David that ability to be able to escape from his enemies. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon high places. He was able to look down on Saul and his men. The Lord gave him the ability to be able to escape them. It was of the Lord that did that. And isn't that the same with us, friends? It's God that strengthens us in the battle. It's the Lord that enables us to run through a troop. It gives us the ability, gives us courage to do things which we never dreamt that we're able to do. And it's all by faith in Christ and in his promises and in his word. Do we believe that? Do we live by that? We must. We must pray for the faith of David. He teaches my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by my arms. The Lord taught David's hand the ability and skill for warfare. He wasn't inclined for these things. He was inclined for poetry and for music and for these things. But the Lord, you see, the Lord can take someone who is not inclined and completely turn them around and give them the ability to fight God's battles for them. The Lord delights, doesn't he, to use the weak things of this world to confound the mighty. Friends, when the Lord, by his amazing grace, saves us, what seems so impossible for us in our unregenerate days, God makes possible, doesn't he? He makes completely possible. And it made me laugh, actually, because speaking to an old friend recently, which we mentioned in our prayer meeting, he said to me, Lee, I never knew you were a public speaker. I never dreamt you'd be a public speaker. And I said, well, I didn't either. I'm not inclined to that at all. But I do believe that the Lord gives grace and help to be those people, those vessels that he wants us to be. And so, what service God calls us for? And it doesn't matter, we have different services. It doesn't matter whether you're called to preach or labor in the church or whatever job you do it to all of your might for the Lord. It's imperative that church is made up and all is as valuable as each other. We're in the body of Christ. But do it with all your heart, as we see with David. Unto the Lord and not to men. If we're doing it unto the Lord and not to men, our reward will be from the Lord. If we're doing it just to please men, then we're doing it for the wrong reasons. It must be done unto the Lord. And so verse 35 says of God's word, thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation. And thy right hand hath holpen me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. The shield, thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation. And that's what God's salvation does. It gives security, doesn't it? Security. So that when he gives us that salvation, we are bold. We can be courageous in the fight. We can pursue our enemies. We can go out there and be bold because we have his salvation. Because it doesn't matter where the battle comes from within, from without, all around us at times, we've got the shield of faith that will never, ever let us down. We're the Lord's. No matter what happens to us, he is sovereign. We trust in his salvation. We have a sure hope in Christ. Thou hast also given me the shield of salvation. David was emboldened to do what God commands him to do, to be conformed to God's ways, because the Lord had his back. The Lord saved him. And thy right hand hath holpen me up. He's talking about Christ. He believes in Jehovah, the Messiah. He's looking forward. And he's saying, it's the Lord that has holpen me up. Who is on the right hand of power? That is Christ. He helps me by his outstretched arm, by faith. He's the one that gives me strength, that has saved me, that enables me to live the life which is completely contrary to my nature. He is the one that does these things in my life. And thy gentleness hath made me great. And thy gentleness hath made me great. We see here that David, although he was made into a great man of war for the Lord's causes, to do what the Lord had bid him to do, he wasn't a violent man. He didn't want violence. He wanted peace. And he had gentleness, although he was a great man of God, a great man of war. He had a heart of a child, as it were. There was a gentleness. There was a meekness. There was an easy discipline of him. As a child, you see, we would be gentle. And that's true of all believers. Though we can be very zealous for the Lord, and we can be very bold on the outward, but really within, there is a gentleness there. There is a softness of heart towards the Lord. There is an easy softening of the heart before the Lord. When the Lord speaks to us through this word, there's a softness, there's a discipline, as a young child would be disciplined and conformed to a father's instructions. The same was said with David. Thy gentleness hath made me great. Verse 36, thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. The sure words of God did expand David's tread and steps, didn't they? They enlarged them so that he stepped safely, so his feet would not slip. It was God that made him more sure-footed. It was God that enlarged his tread and his steps that made him not fall. Let us always acknowledge that. And not say, well, it was due to me because of the things that I've done. No, no. It's by God's grace. It's all of his grace. He's the one that keeps us from falling. He's the one that picks us up when we do fall and helps and blesses us. Verse 37 and 38 go on to say, I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them that they were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet. We see here the courage and boldness and daring of David in the fight. I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them that they were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet. As Christians, let us not adopt a defeatist attitude. We can so easily adopt a defeatist attitude. Well, kind of be a half-empty type of person. Well, all these things. Adopt a very critical type of defeatist attitude. We've got a living God. We've got the God of David, the God of Abraham and Isaac. We've got a great God who fights for us. Let us stir ourselves up. Let us pray for courage and boldness and daring in the fight. Let us not go back from the frown of the tyrant, as it were. Yes, we've got many a formidable foe. We've got many things opposing us, as David did. Many a foe from without and within. But let us pray for courage and daringness in the fight, like David did. Let us be bold and courageous, never ever limiting God, because he fights for us. It's him that fights our battles. We need to cultivate that and beseech him for that, don't we? And so in verses 39 and 40, the psalmist sings of the success God gave him in the battle of faith. For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. God gave David, didn't he, the victory over his enemies. The Philistines, remember Goliath, that giant of a man that made the armies of Israel shudder. But David, a little shepherd boy, stepped up to the plate, as it were. God gave him the victory over the Philistines, over the Moabites, over the Ammonites, and all that fought against Israel. God also gave David the victory over all those that rose up within his own country against him, and within his own kindred that rose up against him. And by the grace of God, David readily confesses that it was God alone that helped him subdue those that hated him. Verse 41 and 42 goes on to say, they cried, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord. These are astonishing words, aren't they? Even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them small as dust before the wind. I did cast them out as the dirt in the streets. Those who cry unto God, even unto the Lord God, the true God, cannot expect God to answer their cry of them who hated God's people. In vain do they cry who themselves fought against God when they fought his people. And that's true. Yes, God can save a Saul and completely change him around. But don't expect, if you are persecuting God's people and opposing God's people, don't expect in the hour of need to cry unto the Lord to be saved. He doesn't promise us that. Today is a day of salvation. Seek the Lord now. And so we see this with David. They cried, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord. But he answered them not. You see, they cried because they're in trouble, they're in danger. But they cried not when they're persecuting David. They cried not. It was only when they're more concerned with their life, not their soul, you see. We need to cry for the matters of our soul, don't we? Verses 43 and 44, God's word says, thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people, and thou hast made me the head of the heathen. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. David, coming towards the end of his song of praise to the Lord here, looks up with humble reverence to the Lord for the Lord's deliverances from a life of worldly strivings, a life of worldly contentions and pursuits. He praises the Lord. He looks back on all these things and he praises the Lord for his strength that he's given him and grace and mercy. He's just so full of praise that the Lord has done this in his life. The Lord elevated David so that he was made the head of the heathen. All the neighboring nations became tributaries to him, didn't they? And served and obeyed and submitted to him who were once alienated from him. Many nations round about Israel became tributaries and served Israel. And David, of course, became king. And so they submitted unto him. And David, in this sense, shows himself to be a type of Christ, doesn't he? A picture, an illustration of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom the Father also brought safely through all the powers of darkness and gave the victory, being, of course, co-equal and one with God. Christ, too, became the head over all things to his church, both to the believing Jew and to the Gentile. And we who were once alienated from our Maker in the vanity of our thoughts and minds, we've been brought nigh now by the blood of Christ, haven't we? We submit now to his sovereign rule over our life. And this is true of Christ. These things speak of Christ, don't they? We submit ourselves willingly to him. We're ungodly. We are like the heathen, as it were. But the Lord has worked in our hearts. He is now our King. And we submit to Him. We listen to Him. As, of course, those tributaries would have done with King David. The stranger shall fade away, says verse 45, and be afraid out of their close places. Those who opposed David and, in essence, God are strangers to His grace, aren't they? And fade away in fear, out of their close places. And this is true of David's enemies. They faded away, didn't they? Strangers to God's grace, just fade away, as it were. Go back to their comfortable places, as it were, but in fear, in fear. In conclusion, in verse 46 through to the end of today's passage in Psalm 18, the psalmist exalts the Lord God and gives Him all the honor and all the glory due to His most holy name. The Lord liveth, says the psalmist, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth. He is not like the phony, false gods around us that do not have eyes, that cannot see, have not ears, that cannot hear you. Oh, my God, take confidence from Him, the true God, the God of Israel, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Christ, it is Him, Jehovah. He is it that liveth. Like Job said, I know my Redeemer liveth. And He ever lives to intercede for me. And this is the sense that David is saying. Take confidence that the God has delivered me from all these things. He lives and He can help and bless you. Trust in Him. Trust in His word. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock. He has been my rock, my sure foundation, when the storms of life come tumbling in. He has been my sure stay and my rock and my security. And let the God of my salvation be exalted. He is full of exaltation and praise to the Lord here. It is God that avengeth me and subdueth the people under me, says David. David often tried to reconcile his enemies, didn't he? He often tried to reconcile his enemies. He took no delight in the death of his chief oppressor, Saul, didn't he? He mourned, actually. David was used gloriously as an instrument in the hand of Almighty God to revenge God's enemies who remain unrepentant, and of course to point people to Christ and to His sure salvation. He delivereth me from mine enemies, says verse 48. Yea, Thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. He delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, Thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Are not these words true of every believer? The Lord is the one that delivers us from our strong enemies. They are far too strong for us. We cannot take them on. Those Goliath sins within our life, the many enemies that oppose our faith in Christ, the many systems and the many things, our antagonistic culture, the media, people who are hostile to our faith, there's so many things, and we cannot take them on by ourselves. It is God, through the Lord Jesus Christ alone, that gives us the grace and the strength and the ability to equip us to fight that good fight of faith. And David knows this, because the Lord ever liveth to intercede, to have intercession for us. Remember that. He lives to intercede for His believers. That's why we should often be found at the throne of grace and at the means of grace, where God delights to be for us to be used. Those who seek and come unto God by Christ will be saved to the uttermost, as it says in Hebrews 7:25. Therefore I will give thanks unto Thee, O Lord, says the psalmist in verse 49,
among the heathen and sing praises unto thy name. We see here an eternally grateful and holy soul, don't we? Giving thanks and making his boast, not of himself, but of course of the Lord God. And in that, he's doing it amongst the heathen, isn't he? He's doing it amongst the heathen and ungodly people. Oh, how we need the same courage to speak up for our Lord amongst the heathen, to speak God's truth, to stand and bear our crosses, as it were, for the Lord. And finally, in conclusion of verse 50, David ends in fullness of gratitude to the Lord God, his great deliverer. It says, great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David, and to his seed forevermore. David gives here an affirmation of God's promises to him, of whom he was made king, wasn't he? And to his seed, of whom Christ, the Saviour, of course, would come, of which all the nations of the world would be blessed in him. And all those who would come to believe in him by faith, as it was with Abraham, who believed in God's words, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Those who believe, of course, in the word of God, in the Lord Jesus Christ, in that greater son of David, in the Savior in Christ, it's accounted to them for righteousness. And it says, to his seed forevermore, great deliverance. And you can expect, as a believer who has the seed, the word of God implanted in you, that holy seed, that good work, you can expect God to deliver you all the days of your life like David. Implore him for it. Cry to him. Ask for strengthening, for help from above. Take courage from David. These events happened. The Lord delivered him from all these things and blessed him. Take courage, dear believer. Oh, how thankful we are that the Lord Jesus is our Saviour. Let us never, ever limit him who, like David, is able to strengthen us and to defend us and use us and equip us and bless us for his glory. To God be all the praise. Amen.